Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Happy New Year. This is our first radio show for the year, of course. Feliz Navidad, Feliz New Year, all of that, you know. So we really appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you can't tune in, just always remember that you can always upload our shows, because they're download our shows. They are pre-recorded. But anyway, this is Celebrity Events host Ifrit Chai. Celebrity's coming to you live. I'm at my boo house, so you know, this I kind of like seeing a little things that do this externally, because it's like working. I like working in different locations as much as possible and stuff like that. And we're just going to be expanding and doing more and more. So I just want you all to stay tuned and keep your eyelids peeled back, because we got a lot coming up. Great, wonderful things coming up in this story. For those of you who have not been aware, we have been extremely sick for a very long time. It fluctuates. You know, we have my good days, we have good days. So, you know, it just all depends, you know, how my body is feeling. And one thing that I do want to share with you all is, before we actually get to our radio show topic today is the legalization of enslaving Black plots. And I'm going to explain that in more detail, what we mean by that. But what we wanted to share with y'all before we get started is this. You know, a lot of people, they spread stuff. They spread gossip. You know, they run with what they heard. And it's, you know, you really look at a lot of court cases. A lot of them they prosecute people solely based on hearsay and quote-unquote circumstantial evidence, but they never really have anything concrete to use against the person. And the reason we brought this up is because it's just too much tearing down in communities, especially with, and I'm just going to say it, with Black communities. It's a lot of tearing down. A lot of people, it seems like they wait to see you fall. It's like they look for you to fall. And right now, the way things have been going in this world, especially in these last 4 to 5 years, if you all have really been paying attention, that's not a good idea. We really need to uniform together, even though I don't call myself or consider myself, quote unquote, Black, because of the stigma that is behind that word, not because I'm ashamed of my skin tone. I mean, love my chocolate dark brown skin, wouldn't trade it for nothing. I love it, but we just don't like the stigma that comes with it, and the reason as to why, you know, we were called that word. So that's the only reason why, for me, we did not like that word. I can't speak for anybody else, but we can say that for me. And, you know, it's just a lot of that really needs to stop. And a lot of it's just, it's really petty. You have a lot of jealous people out there. And you have a lot of people who just don't like taking no for an answer. And when you tell them no, you stand up to them. They don't like it. So they take your name and they run it through the dirt and they try to incriminate you, or they try to make you feel bad, or they try to get people to turn against you. It's always just some foolishness, some kind of craziness, but never, ever allow anyone to persuade your mind based on hearsay. You have to learn how to assess the situation, even if it's a best friend, a confidant, your significant other. It doesn't matter. You still have to always be fair about things and assess the situation, find out exactly what's going on, especially when you just hear one side. And some people, they're very creative. They're habitual liars, and that's what they do. So they like to create a lot of lies, and they try to make it sound so authentic and sound so real, and like, you know, you some people will actually start believing it and falling for it. But this happens so much in Black communities, and a lot of black communities are not being built up for that reason. If you're in a community and you have chosen to live in that community, and if you desire to live in that community, especially on a long-term or even hopefully permanent basis, then you really need to be active in that community. If there's anything that you see that is wrong that needs to be corrected in that community, then you need to open your mouth and become an advocate in that community to help, you know, correct whatever needs to be corrected in that community. Don't sit back and just complain and twirl your thumbs and, you know, be like, oh, well, this is just not good. I just wish things was different. And, you know, well, I would try to do something about it, but I'm just one person. And, you know, I can only do so much. Yes, we all can only do so much. However, we have a choice of what we do and what we don't do. We have a choice to continue to either make excuses or to become more proactive in our communities to help them flourish the way they need to flourish. Now, one thing I do want to definitely bring out is, you know, if you really look at with all of the carelessness and concerned attitudes by both state and federal governments regarding the racism, the racial profiling, the senseless murdering, and intentional economically and financially corrupt, crippling of blacks and many of their neighborhoods that, you know, are or with predominantly black residents, it kind of make you think, you know, you're like, well, is there a plot to make enslavement of blacks legal again? Because it doesn't seem like anyone is really making an honest effort to try to eliminate it. Because, you know, if you think about it, if they can send soldiers to a country that they're not familiar with, they don't know the territory, the region, and the area like that, and they can find a man in a cave or underground or whatever, Saddam Hussein, I mean, Bin Laden, Bin Laden. If they're saying that, oh, well, he was in this cave and we found him, if they can do that and find someone out in the middle of a desert and subdue him, they can stop stuff that's going on right here nationally. But what happens is, you know, if people really pay attention to another thing that's really been brought up a lot in media with government, period, is the overpopulation issue that is going on in the United States of America. So you have this country that has become very overpopulated. Well, let's just get rid of the most, you know, less insufficient ones, so they assume. They have the best organs anyway, you know, that's why they have more longevity with their health and stuff like that. So we can just kill them, especially if they're on an organ donor, or they're just a thug, you know, a low life, or they're a troublemaker, or they have a rap sheet. We can just pick on them and bully them, and we can kill them, and nobody's going to care. And that's the kind of attitude and mentality that's going on. Now, the National Guards can be called when they had the protests. You know, they always send all of these armies of police officers and the National Guard out for these kind of protests. However, if they would send these kind, you know, put this kind of armed forces in place to prevent these kind of things from happening where people would not have to protest, then they wouldn't have this problem. However, they don't care. You know, I'm going to just be honest. The United States government and your state government do not care. They don't give a fat rat's behind about you. If you don't believe me, if you're in a position where you're homeless or you're, you know, you lost everything, it'll be a long shot, an extremely long shot, that they will say, oh, come on into me a home. Oh, let me go ahead and buy you a home. Let me have this house built for you. You know, they have these projects that they do where they build homes for people and everything. We have seen programs like that, the HOPE program, and they do, in Habitat for Humanity, they do very you know, great work for people. And there's many other organizations out there, nonprofit organizations, that actually do this for people. However, with that being done, there's still so much. They cannot build a house for every single person. And it just seems really strange to me how in certain countries, even the most privatized countries, some of the people, most of the people, still have a roof over their head. They still have a house to live in. And people in the communities come together and they build homes for those who are homeless. They help those who are homeless. And it used to be a time where that was, you know, a neighborly gesture that neighbors did for neighbors that they knew were struggling or that probably came into situations where they're struggling. But what has happened is a lot of them, they stopped because crime has increased, people have become more shady, and some people are just too dang on proud to ask for help when they need it. And so this has been a situation that's been going on for years. Now, but this is, you know, blacks, we have a lot of power. Everything that is functioning in every company that is flourishing is to the magnitude that it is because of our spending. They don't mind hiring you at these minimum wage jobs. You know, you go to just about any Walmart, you will see it predominantly black employees. They don't mind paying you because they're going to get their money back. They know you're going to turn right back around and spend it in there. So they're like, okay, we're just getting our money back. We don't care. They don't even realize they're really actually just working for free or pennies on the dollar. So they're going to get their money back. Mickey D's, fast food. Me and just say fast food restaurants. And the reason we stayed at Mickey D's, we used to work at a McDonald's and a long time ago when I was a teen. And let me just say it's not all that it cracks up to be. But now they do have better opportunities for employees. They have tuition reimbursement programs and stuff like that. So some companies, they are going above and beyond. However, at the core of it, though, some of them are still just very racist, and they do not want to help black people, you know, without black spending money. You know, this economy will definitely crash, and we just wanted to reiterate that. Another thing we want to reiterate that, you know, blacks are the number one consumers of the USA, and then to add to that, to the UK and the UN. You know, and if people really look at all of this, these different countries, if you study these different nations, one thing that you would notice that all of those countries are in the trade market exchange for merchandise, products, food, services, et cetera. And there are not any black African-American owned Fortune 500 companies or, major companies that have allies and ties with other countries where they're doing trade. And so, you know, China, this is what cracks me up, okay? If anybody who really know history and that studies, you'll know that China really was a part of Africa originally. If you really look at the skin, their bone structure is very similar to a lot of Africans. And then they also have Indian tribes and blacks in China, but they do not show them a lot. A lot of them, they are just like in the remote areas out in the wilderness. They wear the rings around their necks. I forgot the tribes. I can't remember the name of them right off the bat. But just look it up and you'll find it for you. So see, we're not going to just give y'all everything. And you know why? Because I'm sick and tired of people being lazy. They don't want to research. Do your dang on freaking research. Me research stuff. I'm always, you know, researching, reading, and digging into information and stuff like that. You have to do your research, because if you don't know what you're fighting, you're not going to know what kind of weapons you need to defeat it, point blank, period. You know, we don't have, as black, any major accredited colleges and universities. You know, there are, you know, so many other types of business, you know, and products and services that black and African Americans do not own, like airports, vehicle manufacturers, factories that produces cereals and Twinkies, chips and stuff like that, you know, and having major electric companies or you know, starting those kind of companies and you know, really just running with telecommunication companies, social media companies. It's not too many Blacks that really own them, and the ones that do own them, to my knowledge, we know of a couple of them. I mean, not going to mention their names for the sake of, you know, we have to protect our, you know, ourselves. But they have not even, they sold the companies, rather than mistake. They sold their social media site companies. Some of them, they were magazines, they sold their magazines, and they sold them to people who are non-African-Americans or non-Africans, non-Blacks, whatever you want to consider, you know, people who are this skin complexion, or, you know, that fits in that category, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so they sold it and started keeping it and, you know, learning how to use that company and make it, you know, stretch out and broaden for them and make investments and stuff like that. They didn't do. So, you know, now it's like, okay, wow, you know, now this is going on and all right, this is a situation. Yeah, it is a situation. It's a great big situation. So, you know, these are situations, these are things that are going on right now. You know, you can't even have young Black men walk down the street without being racially profiled, harassed, not even just young Black men, but Black men, period, regardless of the age. And, you know, they can't even just ride down the street or even walk down the street without being dang on freaking profile, you know, and stereotype and harass. And, you know, one thing that we had stated in our previous show back last year is this. When you live in a community that is predominantly Black, not just a neighborhood, but the community in a whole. There's a difference between a neighborhood and a community. So people, make sure you understand that, you know. If you're not sure what the difference is, dictionary.com. I'm sorry, that's just me. I'm just a, you know, I guess I'm a nerd or whatever, but, you know, you have to do your research. You have to start digging stuff up and, you know, looking. But, you know, there's a difference in it. And most Black, predominantly Black communities have the highest crime rates only because a lot of the Black communities that they have are in areas that are stressed. Like they intentionally stress the area out. Then there are those in those communities who will run the community down because of the way they treat the property. We already have this flag against us because of the color of our skin, that it, for some reason, it's like they devalue us. You know, and that, see, okay, I'm going to have to go to that devaluing. When a society looks at you as a person and they devalues you, the person, because of the color of your skin, your nationality, or your sex gender, that lets you know right then and there that you're going to be, that you're fighting a never-ending war, and you have to have a dog-eat-dog mentality as well. And that's something me had to learn being in the entertainment industry, is that me have to have a dog-eat-dog mentality, because if you don't, you're going to get bit, and you may not be able to recover from it. So you have to have some kind of standard about yourself to the point where you can be assertive, you can be solid, you can be steadfast, you can be strong-minded, lion-hearted, without it going in a negative direction. You know, you have some people that are like that, but they misuse it. They use it for bad instead of using it for good. But this is the kind of world that we live in. They do it in the UK. They do it in Europe. Here in USA, you know, they devalue us because of the color of our skin. But they don't devalue our money. They don't care if we spend our money on their products, on their services, on in their stores. Therefore, you really have to wake up and smell the coffee, and you have to look things in a more broader perspective and aspect. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to just look at it from right here, but I'm not going to extend my mind and my thoughts outside of the perimeter. I'm just going to stay here where I'm comfortable and content. You will never grow like that, and you will always be stuck in a very narrow-minded mentality, or in a mentality that is going to keep you mentally, economically, and financially crippled, and educationally crippled. And when we say education, I'm not talking about going to college and get degrees and stuff. A lot of people have done that, and it's having mental weak. You know, they still, you know, it hasn't really paid off for them. However, when we refer to education, meaning like having street smarts and book smarts, knowing how the system works, understanding the government, understanding the school system, understand this key word that you keep saying, system. If it's a system, then every system has a pattern. It has rules and regulations. It has a way that it flows. It's a way of the way they do things, the way that they think. And if you do not know the way they do things and the way that they think, then guess what? You cannot fight against them. And so prime example, I'm going to give you all these examples. Our show is almost over. I was seeing this video of this young man. He was in a Walmart parking lot, and he got attacked. Well, he got approached by police officers, all right? The police officer asked him to leave the premises. He was well within his First Amendment rights, true. However, a lot of times you have to, and he stated it, sometimes you have to step down to step up. Meaning, if you see that this situation, if you rebel and if you try to stand your, quote unquote, stand your ground in a situation where you're dealing with authority of the law like that, then you're asking for trouble. The police officers asked him to leave the property. He wanted to get sarcastic. They asked for his name. Ah, oh, what do you want my name for? Da, da, da. Because he didn't want to leave the property. He refused to leave the property. Therefore, he ended up getting arrested. Because then at that point in time, he did disobey the police officer. Because yeah, unless that parking lot is a private owned parking lot, well, if it is a private owned parking lot, sorry, then he cannot just be on there for non-business reasons that is directly related to this, to that Walmart store, retail. Now, there were some guys recording it. The police officer asked the guys, you know, if they were with him and if they wanted to get arrested too. Now, something like that, the approach that the police took with those young men was out of place because he didn't have to say that, because they were still willing in their rights as well. However, instead of these young men using their wisdom and common sense, they decided to use their pride and I'm ego, I'm going to take the stand and I'm going to stand on my ground. Well, it cost them, because what they could have did when the police officer asked them to leave, they could have gotten into their car because he told them to get out the parking lot. So they could have gotten into their car, off their feet, because, you know, he told them to walk off the parking lot, you know, to go. But they could have recorded it from their car to show what had happened, if there was anything to show that happened. But what they were showing was not something that justifies or that's considered police brutality, in my opinion, because even though the gentleman was exercising his First Amendment rights, yet and still the way he went about doing it, it ended up making him look like the bad guy and not the police officers. So you have to know when to stand up, when to stand down so that you can stand up. A lot of times, you know, again, the judicial system, the court system, you know, the educational system, you know, all of this stuff is system. So you have to know how the system works in order to fight against it. And a lot of people are not understanding how it works in law. They don't understand how it works in corporate America. They don't understand how it works in finances and stocks and real estate, but they have so much to say. They're always so combative and always so aggressive and always so vocal, but and want to take stance. But you can't take stance against a battle that you're not prepared to fight. You need to know what you're fighting up against and know the strengths and the weaknesses and how to fight the system using the system, because that's always the best weapon. Is to use it, you know, it's just like if somebody pull a gun out on you and you're able to take that gun away from that person and turn it on them, you now have the upper hand. So that's the way it is with these different governments and systems. You have to know how to take their weapons and make it be used against them. And a lot of blacks do not do that because it's always a lot of attitude, a lot of emotions, and stuff like that, instead of using logic, using wisdom, using knowledge, using understanding, using intellect. You know, don't be so radical where you just act out on your emotions, because when you do that, you put yourself in a situation that taints your reputation, it makes you look bad, and you actually end up making a poor jackass out yourself. So, you know, you just have to know how to fight whatever battles you pick. If you're going to pick a battle, you better know how to fight it, point blank, period. So this is something that I, you know, I mean, wanted to bring to your all attention. And that's why, you know, we have a great concern about is there a plot, you know, to possibly legalize the enslavement of blacks because of all this different stuff that's going on with the senseless killings of blacks. And it's like, the governments are just like, okay, you know, this happens all the time. People get killed. So was black-on-black crime, or so was the police that killed the blacks. So what? They racially profile. Who cares? You know, don't really. And the reason they don't care because, again, they devalue us as people, you know, as a person. But they do not devalue our money. And our money keeps their stomachs full. It keeps that nice roof over their head. It helps them drive those updated and new model, you know, foreign cars and stuff like that. And you're still working from paycheck to paycheck from the 9 to 5 or whatever hour shift you work, and you're, you know, barely making ends meet, or you have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and, you know, you're going through all of this stuff and they're just sitting back not caring. So you have to make a choice on what you want to do about it and how you're going to pursue it. And one of the ways that you do that is you have to build a committee, meaning you have to have a group of people who is willing to work with you who have smarts. You can't just get a bunch of people who are just radical. You have to get people who have knowledge in these different areas, in the government, in stock market exchange, in real estate, in community development and stuff like that. You have to know how to network and collaborate with these kind of people, put these type of people in your committee, because if not, you're going to find yourself making a jackass of yourself again. You're going to use that word. So it's about how you approach things more than you approach. A lot of people don't know how to approach things because they act out on their emotions. And one thing I want to bring to you all's attention is that if you really think about the conditions of a lot of the communities that may be considered low income rural projects or whatever, they don't really, these companies that are around, these major companies, even from the utility companies to the grocery stores, to the gas stations, whatever, they don't do anything for your communities, meaning they don't have events in those communities that are going to bring money into those communities to build them up and to help them flourish. What they do is they do privately. They will say, okay, let me look at this property. Prime example, anyone who lives in Atlanta, Georgia, for 10 years or more would know that if downtown Atlanta, there was plenty of areas in downtown Atlanta that were a project. Now they have built these real nice apartments and these nice apartment homes and townhomes and stuff like that. It looks really nice. They have cleaned it up, but guess what? They did. They didn't build it up to help the people who are already in the community that, you know, was not being troublemakers and that was not running down the community. They built it up to move a certain group of people out, forcing them out of their community because they knew that they could not afford the rent. And they raised the rent up skyrocket high, like for a one-bedroom. And this, you know, because we've seen a one-bedroom is like $1,250 a month, you know. This is just a one-bedroom. So they go into these communities, you know, if they're going to come in the community, they're not going to come to help build the people that are already in that community up. They're going to go to build the community to make more lucrative income off of everybody that's involved, except those who are already there in the community in the first place. They're going to bypass you and force you out of the community and build it and develop it the way they want to. So when they have these public meetings about these types of development, you all have to start going to them. Stop making excuses. Well, I just really don't feel like getting out. It's raining. Oh, shoot, it's cold. I don't care if it's rainy. I guarantee you, if any one of those companies call you and then it's legitimate and they say, we have $5 million for you, rain, sleet, snow, hail, high water, tornado, twister, tsunami, hurricane, whatever, you're going to try to find a way there, point blank period, right? So stop making excuses, but then want to be so quick to complain about everything. Because this is not the time for bickering. This is not the time to be trying to pull each other down. It's not the time to try to use anything that you can find over their heads to try to humiliate them and make them feel like they're incompetent and try to make them look bad in front of others. You know, this is the time to unite, to become unified, because, there's not much time left. Like you think, President Barack Obama is going to be out of office soon. Now, look at what they've been doing within the 8 years that he's been there. Well, 7.5, almost 8 years he's been in office. They have been pissed, hot firecracker. Now, he cannot do no more than 2 terms because that is one of the amendments. So just imagine what's going to happen when he's finally out the office. It's going to be like revenge, 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 right? This thing on black man bidding this thing on White House, the hell with this. We don't even want the same chair. Give me another chair. It's going to be, it's really going to be a very detrimental experience for a lot of blacks. So we have to start sticking together and working in uniform and stop trying to be boss. And everybody cannot damn lead. That's what pisses me off, too, with a lot of blacks. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you really look at a lot of other nationalities and race of people, they sit back and look. They just laugh. They think it's funny because they're like, wow, they really cannot even come together and really work uniform without getting into arguments and bickering over little stupid stuff. If you know someone, just because you want to be a leader doesn't make you a leader. True leaders build other leaders. And true leaders are heavily endowed with wisdom, with knowledge and understanding. They do not act out on their emotions. They're strong in principle. They're very strong in integrity. Those are the kind of people you need to have as leaders, and not someone that you like over this one. You may not like this person more, but if this person is able to get to lead you in the direction that you need to go and to bring the community to a position that it needs to be, where it be safe for everybody and you can live like you want to. If you can't even afford to live in Beverly Hills, but you want to feel like you do live in Beverly Hills and you want the community to be cleaned up and be, you know, more luxurious for you, and this person is able to do that and bring the community to that level, let the person leave. Don't vote against them. I just don't like her. I don't like him. We don't like the attitude. He got sassy with me. Or she got sassy with me. Who cares? if they're able to lead and get your behind out of that situation you're in and stop living in a home that's falling apart, that you, every time you turn around, something going on, you can't afford to fix the roof, the insurance don't want to fix, you know, don't want to compensate and cover this and cover that because it wasn't caused by natural disaster or you know, by an act of God, then guess what? You have to do what you need to do, not what you want to do. Do what you need to do. And that's the problem with that we find out with a lot of Black people that I've been around, is they don't like to do what they need to do. And then when stuff don't happen for them the way it should or what they desire, they blame everybody else. Some of them get so angry to the point where they become physically violent or, you know, or they go to some serious extent to try to, you know, make everybody else's life miserable and make them look bad. Stop doing that stupid crap, okay? You know, just learn how to work together and put personal feelings aside when it comes to taking care of business. Because I'm going to tell you, I worked in corporate America for some time before we started doing this. And me used to see and actually hear Caucasians make little witty, sarcastic remarks to each other, insult each other sarcastically. And when we say this, we don't say this in a racist way because I'm very mixed. I don't tell people all the time, I'm very mixed. Like, we have six nationalities mixed in me at one time between just three generations, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my grandparents, and my parents, okay? And that includes German and British, the white part, the caucus, okay? But anywho, you have, as we saw them make these remarks towards each other, they would call each other names, they would insult each other's intelligence and work and discredit them, and they did it in a very sarcastic but professional way, if that makes sense to you. Like, they didn't get outraged, they didn't go slam and stuff, have a temper tantrums and all of that. But they would hate each other, and they would even say that. They were like, you know, I really don't like you, and I'm just working with you so we can get this accomplished because you need me and me need you. They would say stuff like this to each other. And they're just like, wow, you know, they really hate each other, but they know how to put their personal feelings aside to get stuff accomplished. And we don't really see that. We have not seen that too much in too many Black organizations and communities. They're always falling apart because somebody wants to take over, or somebody wants to step on someone's toes, or someone is incompetent and they're not able to lead proficiently, but because they are so caught up in titles and they want to look grand and look superior in the spotlight, they would not step down knowing that they're incompetent and they're not fit and suited to be a leader of that particular, you know, task or whatever. So with this stated, just remember that if you look at a lot of businesses, a lot of them that are in your community, a lot of these businesses do not and will not, you know, invest in Black neighborhoods, communities, like to provide full scholarships for children raised in single parent households or struggling, you know, households in those communities. So, you know, you really have to, you know, and see what happens is it makes us seem extremely vulnerable. And to be honest, at this point in the moment, we are vulnerable. Let me tell you why. They're not going to ever really stop, or they don't honestly really want to stop a lot of Hispanics from coming over here illegally. You know why? Now, the first time they did try to stop it, the only reason they did, because they were in favor of President Obama. That was the reason they were trying to stop it before. But now when they realize, well, shoot, we have more Hispanics in North America now than Blacks, you know, I mean, they've outnumbered them by, you know, a good 10, actually, it's more than that, I believe. I think it's like Yeah, about 10 million. You know, they've outnumbered blacks by about 10 million now. So you think about all of the people, you'd be like, dang, that many people actually live in the United States? Hell yeah, it's a lot of us, a lot of people, a lot of us here in the United States. So you think about that, you say, well, we still have 10 million, I think you said 10 million, okay, we still have 10 million Hispanics compared to, you know, that we can possibly persuade to vote for us, or that if they vote for us, you know, it would put us in an advantage. You know, so we don't, it really don't even matter if we get the votes from the blacks or not anyway. So you have to understand how the system works. But blacks come to spend money in this economy. And it's about to crash because, again, there's not too many black communities. It's very few. We don't even think there's actually really one that is flourishing and established, that is black owned, black created by black people, ran by black people. There's not too many of them. Some exist, but there's not too many of them. And when we have to talk on topics like this, it's really bittersweet. And the reason why, because me don't want it to seem like, oh, me saying these things because of my skin color. It has nothing to do with my skin color at all. Me just speaks the truth. Whether it's, you know, me talked about and did postings about discrimination against whites, Jews, Catholics, you know, Hispanics, been many. So it's not to put down anyone or to put down a particular race. Me just saying what the black race in whole in general needs to do. You know, for those, you know, whatever, you know, again, me don't consider myself black, but I know that in society they see my skin, that's all they see. So I'm not in denial about that. But anyway, this concludes our show. Thank you for tuning to our very first show for 2005. It's Celebrity Events Host Empress Chaz Lewis, the owner, founder, CEO, et cetera, et cetera, of Zine, which is the acronyms and jargons for Z Entertainment Network, Z Magazine. Please follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Z as in zebra, H for hotel, E for elephant, magazine.com. That's the same as our website, www.zhemagazine.com. On Facebook, you can follow us and join our page. We always follow back. That's one thing we do. We always follow people back and join, you know, and show the same love. And that's at facebook.com/ Z Magazine page, in capital letters, Z Magazine page, okay? So this concludes our show, our very first show. Wow. And we had so much other stuff to talk about, but, you know, just understand, if you pick a battle to fight, you have to know what you're up against. That's all I'm saying. So always prepare yourself for a battle that you choose to fight. And right now, this is a battle that we need to fight. It's a absolute must. So whatever you need to do to prepare yourself and get yourself in position to fight it, that's what you need to do. Because if not, you're just gonna only have regrets in the future. All right. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in. Big special thanks to business partners and sponsors, Callaway Nation, celebrity journalist Cassandra Callaway, Benjamin Music, Jabron, who's a music artist who's collabed with mainstream artists, and his manager, Francis, Expressive Photo, celebrity photographer, Higher Family Achievement, which is a nonprofit organization. You can go on the website, Higher Family Achievement. org, and also to pop artist Melissa Rose and everybody else. Just thank you so very much for tuning in and for all of your support. Y'all bless, one love. You all take care, okay? Peace. And me out. I'm tired. My throat dry. I've been holding on to this bottle of water all this time. You haven't stopped. You haven't even stopped to take a sip yet, so it is what it is. So, me good. Thank you.